if you like betting on golf. But everyone that you back misses the cut. Get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the golf betting system. The golf betting system is the golf betting system podcast.
Greetings and welcome to the Golf Betting System podcast 219. This is our 2022 Genesis Scottish Open plus Barbasol Championship tips podcast. Paul Williams joins me, Steve Bamford, to discuss this week's co-sanctioned DP World and PGA Tour action. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm all right. We are Barry-less. Barry is at the JP McManus Pro-Am. We are rather jealous.
Yep.
Please subscribe to this podcast as you drive the popularity of the show. This podcast is for listeners of 18 and above. Please be gambler-aware. You can visit begambler-aware.org for more info. And of course, please bet responsibly. Visit our world-famous golf betting system website with our in-depth betting previews. We have a preview for the Scottish Open and the Barbasol Championship. Tournament strokes gained analysis. There's some good analysis there for... Have you managed to do that for your event this time?
Yeah, there's 3 years' worth of Renaissance Club strokes gained data as well as Keen Trace this week. So, yeah.
Brilliant. So that's... It's all completely free of charge, listeners. So just full strokes gained analysis on both courses this week. Just get stuck in. Tournament form stats, form charts, including combined course plus current form. Plus, of course, our PGA Tour and DP World Tour predictive optimizers. All of these features, like this podcast, are completely free of charge with no paywall. We must be mad. Now, on Twitter, Paul is at Golf Betting. I am at Bamford Golf. We won't mention Barry because he's not here. You can join our Golf Betting System Facebook group. The link is available in the description box. Plus, look out for the Steve Bamford Golf YouTube channel where I present the Golf Betting Show every week. Please subscribe and like the show. I'm recording our Scottish Open Golf Betting Show after this podcast record. Now, you guys, as listeners, power this podcast, so we need your 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. As ever, for those of you who are kind enough to spend the time and leave a review, I will read them out at the start of a future show. Leave your name and where you are in the review. So, we've got one here. It's from Thomas McIntyre. He's in Australia. Entitled, Best Course Analysis There Is. I do like this one. I'm about 11 pints deep after a Sunday session in Melbourne. It's almost like the Sunday I had. Just gone. So forgive me for any clear grammatical errors. But this whole panel provides terrific insight and even in non-winning weeks, it's very entertaining. Simply is a must listen for majors and big PGA Tour events. Keep going, guys. I like that. That's from Thomas McIntyre in Melbourne.
Lovely stuff. That's very articulate for someone who's 11 pints deep on a Sunday. Very good.
I went to a friend's party in the village on Sunday. Mm. You're going to love this. So we go around there at 1:30 for a barbecue. It's a 5-minute walk. We go around there. And my son's got his kung fu grading at a town close by. So we go around there with the plan, go have something to eat, have a couple of drinks. I'll have a drink. Denise is driving. So next thing I can kind of remember is it's 8:00. Denise and Ollie have just come back from the grading. He's got his new belt and he's as happy as Larry about it. And we're about 9 pints in. I haven't gone home. I've not left my seat. If people are just constantly bringing me beers,
and you've missed his grading.
Yes, yeah. I don't really remember them actually leaving. So I clearly went. Oh yeah, have a great time, but you don't need me there. You don't need the extra pressure, all this, that, and the other. Bring me another beer. Yeah, so I missed the grading. That's when you know you've got a drinking problem. Anyway.
I'm sure he'll forgive you over time.
He didn't care less. I think he didn't want me there. But it was a good barbecue. Thoroughly enjoyable. Best thing is, the guy's birthday, who's we were celebrating, he's a train driver, and he was he couldn't drink at all because he had his first train was at 4:55 the next morning to drive.
Not so ideal.
I'm sure he was watching me with glee as I was completely clearing up his real ale collection. So, yeah, yesterday was a bit of a buying pool. Not only did we have the Barbasol Championship where there was about 550 field changes and barely a player in there that you know, but by about 11 o'clock, I was waning very badly.
Yeah, and the field changes continue to come, don't they? It's still quite fluid on both of those events, which I guess we had to expect it because of the nature of the two co-sanctioned and travel arrangements. And I think what really didn't help is that a number of players were entered into both events, and then kind of had to pick and choose between the two and pull out of one or enter in the other and then pull out of both, and it causes all sorts of problems. Rob Bolton on Twitter, and if you don't follow Rob for these kind of changes, then
I feel for Rob.
Yeah, then you do need to follow Rob because he's always on the ball with these things. He's been a very busy man over the last 24 hours or so. Yeah. Doing a sterling job.
Must be tearing his hair out.
Indeed.
Let's quickly mention last week, although we need to crack on. I landed Cam Davis tie for eighth, 40-1 each way. I think one more birdie and we'd have had a nice each way cover for the week.
Yeah, he was a bit flat on the final nine, wasn't he? Sadly.
There were a lot. The scoring, they tend to do that at the JDC, don't they? They make it quite defensive on the Sunday. Mm. All of a sudden, the scoring becomes a little bit here. I'm being, I'm being subjective, a little bit tougher. But yes, a win for JT Postum, 60-odd to 1. I think he was 66-1 best price with 10 bet on the Monday,
yep.
Which was the best price in the market. One of those where, you know, looking back, you think, well, why the hell didn't I pick JT Poston? But at the time, you thought, well, he's just come second and, you know, I doubt if he'll carry it on. And,
well, you had to ignore his...
cleared up, didn't he? Absolutely, you know. Wire to wire.
Yeah.
No problem at all.
You had to ignore his course form because the
that
was the glaringly obvious flaw in his argument last week. Because the form was there, he just had to overlook it. You know, and if you could overlook that, then you picked yourself up a nice winner. And there were plenty of winners on social media that I saw who managed to overlook that and bagged themselves a decent price.
So Poston was the winner of the John Deere Classic, and then you got another runner-up with Ryan Fox. You also landed Ryan Fox first round leader at 40-1. So you had another cracking week. Well done.
Yeah, thanks. I put my first round leader picks up on a Wednesday on social. So I only tend to put one name up or two if Matt Every's playing. Ryan Fox, first round lead, opened with a 64, didn't he? Trod water all the way through from there and then closed with another 64. Actually made a bogey on the final hole, which I don't particularly like, as I've mentioned in last week's pod, I think, but it was a tough hole, the final hole. Posted 17 under, which for a while looked like it might just be good enough, but Adrian Maronk, 4 under through his final four holes, walked away with it. Been knocking on the door, Maronk, and you can't deny him that. Making a lot of treading new grounds for Polish golf, which is really good to see. Meant an awful lot to him. Just a shame that Fox didn't convert. You can't deny the form that Fox is in. He's been contending pretty much every week on the DP World Tour. A quick note on a guy on our Facebook group, Graham Doherty, who landed the Adrian Maronk Ryan Fox dual forecast at 400-1. 400-1 on that he managed to get, which
is an congratulations.
Outstanding effort, Graham. So well
who did he
that.
Put that bet on with? Do you know?
That was Bet365 from memory. So, fiver on that, $2,000 back, everyone's a winner.
I bet that went down well in Stoke. wow.
A drop in the ocean, I expect.
Ryan Fox is up to 14th in the President's Cup qualification now, which I think, on the basis, he's purely playing DP World Tour.
Yep.
He's pretty mad. He's got Adam Hadwin above him and the very out of form Erik van Rooyen, who is the 12th. I mean, there's going to be captain picks and what you like, but I expect Leishman gets a pick. He's outside the qualies at the moment, which is one to keep an eye on, actually.
Yeah.
But yeah, Fox up to 14th, which I think is pretty... Well, it's just... On a man that's not playing PGA Tour golf, he's really having a go at getting into this President's Cup team.
Yeah. And it'd only take a decent... Well, there's some big points up for grabs this week in Scotland. But yeah, a decent week this week or next at the Open, and he could find himself well inside that top 12.
They've already taken Oosthuizen out of the rankings with this live situation. Abraham Anser is currently being quoted at 5, which you would assume isn't going to last if... this situation with Oosthuizen. So, yeah, Fox has got a real chance of cracking that President's Cup team this year.
Yeah.
Excellent effort from the New Zealander.
Yep.
Just wanted to mention, actually, I forgot, we have now cracked 200 5-stars on Spotify, so ranking, so rating. So thank you to each and every one of you. It's so easy on Spotify. Literally, you just press the button and it's done. So... if you do listen on Spotify, it's literally 2 seconds work. Press that 5-star button. It really, really helps us. And we can just see it in our download numbers. It also helps us with these reviews. So keep the reviews coming in, please, on Apple, because that's just as important. Right. Scottish Open clearly takes preference this week. So Stellafield playing it at the Renaissance Golf Club. Over in, is it North Berwick?
Yep.
Up in Scotland. I've driven past the course. It's a nice little stretch of golf courses along there, just to the east of Edinburgh. First up, let's look at the bookmakers. Let's, for the Scottish Open, we're going to again highlight 10bet. Yet again, some of these prices are incredible. Yet again, they are offering standout prices on popular players this week at the Scottish Open with market-leading odds. Which you take at 5 places each way according to the odds terms if you want an each way punt. Now, as we record this podcast, they are offering market best 30-1 on Sam Burns, 45-1 on Sung Jae-im, who's been on everyone's tips of their tongue recently. It's like he's going to go bang at some point. 55-1 on the phenom that is Cameron Young. And I thought 125-1 on Hao Tong Li isn't a bad price either, compared to he's about 80-1 with some firms. But listen to this. Now, I was mad enough to put Patrick Rogers up last week, as most people did. And clearly, Patrick Rogers does what Patrick Rogers does, which is get hole-in-ones and then backs that up with triple bogeys. But that's Patrick Rogers. But this week, Patrick Rogers with 10bet is 250-1. Now, you compare that to Boyle Sports, and yes, they're playing 10 places each way. I get that. He's 90-1. Yep. So that's the kind of disparity you can have on golfers with 10bet. And that's why we always say, have a funded account with 10bet, because some weeks you're going to see a player you like and the price is just going to be extremely attractive. New 10bet customers get a 50% welcome bonus up to £50 when signing up through Golf Betting System. You can find details about their new custom promotion, plus a link through to that very offer, plus T's and C's in this podcast description. Now, I've got a real-life example of this, Paul. Barbasol Championship yesterday. Bet365 came up first. They were offering Chris Gotterup at 28-1 on first show. Within about 5 minutes, that was 25-1. Within about 10 minutes, that was 22-1. 10bet then came up. Now, I've got a funded account with 10bet. They came up 33-1 on Chris Gutterup. So I was just bang. Now, on my preview, by the time we managed to write it and get it out, we're down to 20-1. But that is the advantage. You just see a price with them and you just click the button, get the job done.
Yeah. As you say, having that funded account ready to go on a Monday is the point, because the prices don't necessarily last, particularly if they're going to get if they take some action on it, which when the price differential is so strong, as you've just articulated, yeah, some of them, they're going to get hammered, and they do.
They
so.
Went 33-1 gutter up. I managed to get on 10 minutes later, 25s, and then they're 28 driver, and then within about half an hour, 25s.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Yep.
Well worth having a funded account with 10bet via Golf Betting System. Right, Paul, you take us away on the Scottish Open, please. I know that you've got five particular tips this week, and I must say they look rather attractive, but take us through the course.
Yeah, it's an attractive event, full stop, isn't it? Treading new ground, aren't we, as you kind of articulated, it's the first iteration, really, of this strategic alliance between the DP World Tour and the PGA Tour. So a full field of 156, half of the players or thereabouts from each tour. You know, you've got this dilemma, you've got this scenario, as always, where players are coming, descending on Scotland and looking to fine-tune their game ahead of next week's Open Championship. So, you know, we've always seen a number of PGA Tour players play this event over the years, or play one of the two Lynx swing events when the Irish Open's been played on a Lynx course. But this year's different. I mean, we've got 70-plus PGA Tour players, many of them making their debut in the Scottish Open, and it's created an incredible market. I've looked, I can't see anything on the DP World Tour in its history that's anywhere near as strong as this as a regular DP World Tour event. I'm sure that it will rank by far the strongest DP World Tour or European Tour event in history. And I guess that's testament to what they've tried to achieve here with this strategic alliance. John Rahm's the favourite at 12-1. Scottie Scheffler's the same price. Justin Thomas was kind of co-favourite at 3 all the way through Monday. There's a couple of places now that have pushed him out to 14-1. Xander Schauffele, 20-1. Xander's been playing well at the JP McManus, so his price has been nibbled in a little bit. Matt Fitzpatrick, 20-1. Patrick Cantlay, 25s. Will Zalatoris, 28s. Sam Burns, 30. Cameron Smith. I mean, this just gives you an idea of some of the names that we're contending with this week. Cameron Smith, 30-1. Jordan Spieth, Hideki Matsuyama. Colin Morikawa, all 33-1. 40-1 bar those players. And there's an awful lot of players, a lot of named players below that list that I've just read through there, who stand a chance and certainly kind of household names as well. So incredibly good quality field for a regular, and yeah, Rolex Series event, I get that. For a regular DP World Tour event, very strong. Now, we're playing at the Renaissance Club. It hosts for the fourth year in succession. So if you're looking at the event stats or the combined stats on the website this week, then the last three years are the ones that you want to be looking at: 29, 2020, 2021. Now, as you said, it sits on that North Berwick coast. It's what they call the Gulf Coast, isn't it, up there in Scotland? And sits between Muirfield and Archerfield Links. In fact, it literally flanks the two courses. It's designed to look and feel very much like a Lynx course, as you'd expect, but in reality, it only opened in 2008. It was manufactured from a pine forest, so it's one of these new modern style Lynx that's been designed to look very much like it's been around for a century, but in reality, it's been around for a decade or so. But typically Lynx-y features with it: deep bunker and gorse, thick rough. You've got three of the holes alongside the coast. Fescue greens, and for Fescue greens, I mean, you've got the last three events here. Castle Stewart, which was one of the events, or one of the locations rather, for this event before, and that had Fescue greens as well. The 2017 Open Championship at Royal Birkdale, again Fescue greens. So if you want to get an idea of players who play well and putt well on that surface, then those events are worth having a look through. The course itself, 7,293 yard par 71. Realistically, and this is the same, it carries with all of these Lynx-y or coastal courses that we talk about, these exposed tracks, it only plays as tough as the conditions allow. So when we've seen different weather conditions here, we've seen very differing winning scores. Just looking at the forecast, actually, and when I did my pre analysis of this at the back end of last week, it looked like it was going to be really quiet, breezy, 15, 20 miles an hour pretty much every day, gusting higher than that. As of this morning, Tuesday morning over here in the UK, it looks like the wind's not going to be quite as strong as I'd originally anticipated, maybe 10 to 15 miles an hour. Sunday still looks a bit breezy, maybe up to 20. And of course, the gusts and coastal gulf, you do get you know, intricacies within each of the days and gustier periods and calmer periods as well. Wednesday, actually, for the practice days, looks particularly gnarly, 30, 35 miles an hour. So had they been playing that on one of the tournament days, and that could have been quite interesting, but yeah, I think it's going to be relatively it's not going to be overly difficult. I don't think it's not an overly difficult course anyway. 10 15 20 miles an hour is kind of what it's built for. When it gets in excess of that, that's when it starts to get a little bit tricky, but I think it's still going to be scoreable this week. I'll just give you an idea of some of the players that have won the Scottish Open in the past, some of the prices as well, because it does set the scene a little bit. 2010, Eduardo Molinari won at 70-1. 2011 was Luke Donald at 10s. Jeev Milka Singh won at 100-1 the following year. 2013 was when Phil Mickelson won back-to-back and opened the Open Championship the following week. 22-1 he was when he won the Scottish Open, same price the following week at the Open Championship. Justin Rose, 14-1 in 2014. Ricky Fowler came over and won at 22-1 the following year, 2015. Alex Noren, 50-1. Rafa Cabrera-Bello, 50-1. Brandon Stone in 2018 was a 400-1 shot, coming in with pretty much no incoming form. So one of those that would have taken a crystal ball to have plucked him out, I think. Bernd Biesberger, 40-1. Aaron Rye was 50-1 in 2020. And then last year was Minwoo Lee at 200-1. Now, those last three winners, as I said earlier, they all played here. It was all played at the Renaissance Club. Biesberger won at 22 under par. Aaron Rye was 11 under. Now, remember with Rye, that event was the one that was played in the autumn, all of the post-COVID cancellations and then rearrangements meant that that event or this event was played in the autumn that year. So it was tougher, it was wetter, it was windier. 11 under par was Rye's total that year. So from 22 to 11. Last year, Minwoo Lee won at 18 under par. And for me, it doesn't feel quite like a Biesberger year. I think to get to 22, 25 under that kind of number, I think it would probably need to be pretty wet and it needs to be pretty calm all the way through to 4 days. It's going to be dry. It's going to be a little bit of breeze about. So that total from last year, 18 under thereabouts, give or take a couple of shots either way, that kind of feels more like what we'd expect this year, I think. Of course, we've got 3 years worth of data now, so you can dig through the stats. If you look at the raw kind of traditional style stats for this, greens in regulation, the top 40, all of the top 40 in 2019 hit at least 70% greens in regulation. It's one of those courses. It's one of those where the greens are big. 70% GIR is pretty much standard. 80% is, you know, the top performers are all getting 80 plus and some players will get close to 90. It's one of those types of courses that encourages that kind of stat. Last year, very slightly more tricky than 2019. Even so, the top 25 finishers, all of them again, had at least 70% greens in regulation. So if you're trying to find some key stats for this, I think your proximity's got to be good. You've got to be getting the right part of these greens because everyone's going to hit a disproportionately high number of greens. You've got to be converting birdies as well. Now, Bernd Biesberger is not renowned as the most natural birdie maker or putter. He still made 30. Understatement. Biesberger made 30 birdies on his way to victory back in 2019. Minwoo Lee last year made 25 birdies and an eagle. So you're going to have to see that ball find in the bottom of the cup or with regularity. Minimise the bogeys and see if you can compile a winning score that's going to get you kind of close to that 18-20 under number, I expect, give or take. And if you're looking through it, and you mentioned before, we've got some strokes gained stats. The most consistent strokes gained stat for the 3 years to date is strokes gained tee to green. Wiesberger was third on that score. Aaron Rye was second. Even Minwoo Lee, fourth for strokes gained tee to green last year. So all three of them were hitting that particular number, hitting that particular statistic. And if you're going to pick one number out or one stat to focus on this week, that's probably the one, I'd say.
With those three guys, was that made up with better driving or approach, or was driving not important and approach was absolutely vital? Or?
It was a mix, really. It was a mix between the three of them. I mean, the thing with Minwoo Lee is he doesn't tend to hit a massive amount of greens, and even so, coming into this week, it's the same. But the dynamics of the course change it a bit, because a player who's hitting 55, 60% of greens will come here and quite readily hit 70, 75. And typically those kind of players can then, if their proximity is good, then converting and making birdies. And you know, the numbers improve across the board.
And then when they miss a green, they get up and down, so they're not losing anything that way.
Yeah, exactly. So, I think that's only really only consistent stat, I suppose. The other thing, all three of those winners, all of them had played in Ireland the week before. All of them had a top 20. The week before in Ireland. So there are stats, you know, trends that you can pluck out. The challenge of this week, of course, is that we've got an entirely different field. We've got, you know, all of these players coming over from the PGA Tour. It changes the dynamic. Perhaps it changes the history and the trends that exist out there as well. Another thing, 10 out of the last 11 winners had recorded a top 31 finish in a previous Scottish Open. So some event history, some event form of some descriptions got to be considered. Again, we're talking about an awful lot of PGA Tour players coming over here who haven't played the course or the event before. So, you know, I'm not sure you can put a massive amount in these historical trends and the data of Renaissance, given that we're changing so much. But worth considering. I mean, the last debutant to win here, I went all the way back through, and the last one I could find to win the Scottish Open was Tom Lehman back in 1997. And when you're talking maybe 40, 50 players here making their debut this week, can you put a line through all of them? There's too many too good players to put a line through all of them, I think. So, yeah, don't know. A challenging one, but an intriguing one nevertheless. The final point, and this is the same as last week in the Irish Open, the top three non-exempt players who finish inside the top 10 this week get themselves into the Open Championship. And you saw how much that meant to the likes of David Law and John Catlin and Fabrizio Zanotti last week in Ireland, who all managed to get themselves an Open Championship start as a result of their efforts last week. And another three players again this week, we'll do exactly the same thing. So adds a little bit of spice to the occasion for those players who haven't got themselves a spot in the field for next week at St Andrews already. I boil it all down, as you said at the top, I've backed five. And with these pre-majors, you've always got this challenge. You've always got this scenario where you've got players who are just turning up, just warming up effectively. They want to peak the following week, and they're quite happy to go, not necessarily just through the motions, but to try different shots, try different, just test how good their game is. So some players will perennially underperform the week before a major. Some want to come in on absolutely top form. So what I did with the entire field was I went back to the start of 2016 and mapped every finish that they'd achieved the week before a major championship to see who stuck out. And of the players at the top of the market, the one who really stuck out to me was Justin Thomas. Now, if I read you the last seven pre-major efforts from Justin Thomas, he's finished 1st, 20th, 9th, 1st, 8th, 5th, 3rd. So that's two wins, three top eight finishes, and all of them top 20 finishes from his last seven pre-majors. So this is the week immediately before a major championship. So it seems to me Justin Thomas is the kind of player who wants to come into a major playing his very, very best golf. So on the back of that, I backed him 12-1 yesterday, win only at the top of the market. As of this morning, Tuesday, there's a couple of places that have pushed out to 14-1, probably on the back of my preview. But there's 12-1, 14-1. For me, a win-only bet to see if that trend can continue and Justin Thomas can convert another win, well worth taking on, I think. Now, those two wins that I mentioned, one of them at the 2018 Bridgestone Invitational, the WGC, 2020 was at St Jude's, both decent events. More recently, he finished fifth at the Byron Nelson the week before winning the US PGA Championship a couple of months back. Finished third at the Canadian Open before the US Open recently. Now, that week, he finished with a 63-64 weekend. I remember all of us discussing that on the pod as to that very strong spark of form. So it seems like he does come into these pre-major events focused, and if he wins, then it doesn't seem to distract him, or doesn't seem to be something that is going to overly affect the fact that he's playing a major the following week. Other things with JT, I mean, statistically, you don't really need to justify a player with his quality, do you? Looking at his PGA Tour record so far this year, he's third for strokes gained tee to green, and that aligns with the winners here, as we've said. He's played the event a couple of times, so he's not coming in as one of these raw players to the field and a debutant on the field. He has played here twice. Finished ninth in 2019. He finished eighth in 2021, so last year. And both times he closed with rounds of 65. So he can play the course. He can score on the course. He's playing some good golf. Quite happy to take him on at the top of the market at 12-1. Now, in terms of each way punts, I've got four to back up JT. The first one, and I couldn't resist staying on board Ryan Fox. He opened yesterday 66-1. That was with Bet365. Got absolutely hammered in minutes. I managed to get 50-1. The best out there right now, Tuesday morning, 45-1. But that's still twice the price he was last week.
10 bet, Paul. 10 yep. bet, 45-1.
Yep. Yeah. There's still prices out there if you're happy to take them, and he'll continue to be backed. I'm sure that it'll go off shorter by the start of the event on Thursday. It's easy to see why his form's been so good. I mean, in the end, that final hole bogey at Mount Juliet was pretty immaterial because of the finish that Adrian Meronk put in, but even so, he's been playing some cracking golf. And if you look at his last eight DP World, just regular DP World Tour starts, he's won. That was at Ras El Khaimah. After that, 15th, 9th, 8th, 2nd, 2nd, 3rd, 2nd. So over his last four regular events, he's not finished outside the top three, and quite feasibly could have won two or three of those events as well. In terms of setup, these exposed Lynxy-style tracks are actually where I think he plays his best golf. And I think it's a testament, really, to how well he's been playing that he's been contending on all these other styles of courses, types of courses of late as well. Never really done it here at Renaissance, but he's got some decent Scottish Open form. Fourth at Dundonald Links back in the day, sixth at Gullen. They're respectable efforts. Last week, 12.5 strokes gained tee to green. That was, again, another eye-opener. Pretty flat putting week. If the putts start dropping again, and he had been putting, or has been putting really well over the last couple of months, then I think he could be in contention again, and I think he could be dangerous. This, you know, you read some of the comments, oh, Ryan Fox doesn't win, can't win. You know, there'll be some reason why he fails to convert at the end. I think he's been reasonably unlucky over some of these close calls recently. And another week, 17 under would have held last week, and he'd have walked away as the champion. So I'm quite happy to give him another go this week. Three others to go. Aaron Rye have backed at 70-1. We talk about this qualification for the Open Championship. This is the last chance for Rye to get himself into the Open. Now, he tried final qualifying last Tuesday and ended up losing in a playoff at Fairmont St Andrews. So he came extremely close. Now, he had to get into the top 10 last week and then beat one of the top three non-qualifiers. He made the top 10. He finished ninth. But there were three players ahead of him who took those three spots. So he didn't make the field again. Same equation again this week. You'd imagine that he's going to be super motivated to do well this week. And where better to do it? He's returning to the scene of his most recent win on the DP World Tour. 2020, that was the one that was played in those tough autumn conditions. He held off Tommy Fleetwood in the playoff that week. Shouldn't be so tough this week, so he needs to make some more birdies. But we're actually seeing some putts drop from Aaron Rye. I followed quite a bit of his golf last week, and the number of 10, 12, 15-foot putts that I saw dropping from Aaron Rye was more than noteworthy. It kind of backs up to what we've said before. I think you mentioned in a previous pod that he'd led the field for strokes gained putting at Memorial back a few weeks ago, which was a bit of an eye opener.
Eye opener, yeah.
Yeah, and seventh for strokes gained putting last week in Ireland. And not only these 15 footers, 20, 30, 40 footers, there's the odd one that's dropping as well. Now, you and I have watched Aaron Rye and kind of put your hands over your eyes when you see him putt, but seems to be some real positivity with the flat stick at the moment. And for a player of his style, that really does make him dangerous pretty much wherever he goes. So I thought 70-1 worth taking on that kind of player this week. Same price, similar kind of justification for Lucas Herbert. Now, Herbert opened at 100-1. And again, as another one of these players that a lot of punters latched onto very quickly. Best you'll get out there, 70-1 at the moment. But again, I think that's worth taking on. Ninth last week, so same as Aaron Wright. He's finished fourth here at Renaissance in his last two attempts. He led at halfway in 2020, 66-65 to open, shot 79 in round three, and then bounced back with a 65 to finish fourth. Bit more regular last year, 69-68, and then 64-66 over the weekend. So one of the very best weekend aggregate totals to finish fourth. Eighth and sixth, the strokes gained putting on those two efforts. Very capable player. Twice a winner on the DP World Tour. He won that Butterfield Bermuda Championship on the PGA Tour back in October in those breezy conditions. Can handle a bit of wind if it does materialise this week. Defending last week, of course, and ninth. What stuck out with his stats, he was seventh for strokes gained tee to green. That was his best strokes gained tee to green performance last week since he won the Dubai Desert Classic back at the start of 2020. So if that element of his game's working, we know how good a putter Lucas Herbert is, then put both of those together, he can have a really good week, I think. And finally, I've gone with the defending champion, Minwoo Lee, 150-1. Now, I'm not really one for backing the defending champion. They've got media responsibilities. They've got focus. There's expectation ordinarily. But I think this week's different. You're turning up to an event where you've got all of these top-level PGA Tour players turning up. You've got all of the talk and all of the narrative of this strategic alliance. You've got all of this live shenanigans going on in the background, legal challenges which have come in overnight with Ian Poulter and all sorts of stuff going on. And I think that Minwoo Lee effectively will get away extremely lightly in terms of any kind of responsibility for being the defending champion. So pretty much under the radar, I would imagine. And again, these coastal Lynxy style tracks are right up his alley. He was brought up in Perth. He mastered the stinger from an early age, so he can deal with any kind of coastal breeze. Won the Vic Open at 13th Beach back in 2020. Of course, won this last year. That was after finishing 17th at the Irish Open the week before. So he'd shown a little bit of form. A bit disappointed I was to have missed out on him last year, because I'd backed him a few times early in the year for much the same justification and similar kind of style courses. 58th last week, so nothing, nowhere near the same level of result last week at the Irish Open. But before that, 14th at the Masters, 27th at the US Open, both respectable efforts in some top quality fields. And I think the only other thing to consider really is that his sister, Minji Lee, she won her second major last month. When you go back to 12 months ago, Minwoo won this, and then she won her first major a week or so later. And perhaps there's a bit of brotherly, sisterly, perhaps something will rub off, and they'll find that Minwoo Lee can pick up and become the sibling with the most recent win this week. Wouldn't surprise me in the slightest to see him go well. So Minwoo Lee 150s, Lucas Herbert 70, Aaron Rye 70-1. Ryan Fox now into 45s, and there's a bit of 14-1 about Justin Thomas if you fancy taking him at the top of the market. That's my five. Any from you, Steve?
I will back Fox. Why not?
He's playing well.
I was on him last week. He always grabs me as being coastal positive.
Yeah, without a doubt. And he's playing such good golf that he's competing anywhere and contending anywhere at the moment. But yeah, if you boil it down, his best golf historically has been on these linksy and exposed style tracks.
Now, in him and Aaron Rye and Bernd Wiesberger, you had people here that came off a runners-up finish the outing before to actually get the job done at this.
Yep.
That correct?
Yep.
I know how fickle the golf betting gods are, how perverse they can be. It would be completely normal for Will Zalatoris to win his first PGA Tour event in Scotland on an event I'm not covering after I followed him for years and had multiple runner-up finishes. So, yeah, I think I'll have a little pop at 28 on Zalatoris as well. Just to really, that's FOMO bet.
Yeah. Yeah, Willie Z, see if he can get that magic putter, which only seems to work in elite company.
In majors, yeah. I don't know if the scoring's going to be right for him. What do you think this week?
Yeah,
If I was to put a gun to your head, I know it's difficult, especially at a coastal course and blah, blah, blah.
If you were to ask me, I think it will be pretty much the same as last year, would be my... I'd say 18 under. If you can get to that number, I think you'll be in with a good chance of winning on Sunday, would be my gut feel with it. Of course, if it gets windier, then it changes the dynamic. If the wind lies down, then it changes the dynamic. There's no rain in the forecast, so I expect it to get progressively firmer and faster. So it should present a little bit of a challenge. The issue with Renaissance is ahead of a gnarly Open Championship, it's not really compatible. St Andrews next week, one of the easier courses in benign conditions. Perhaps it's a little bit more relevant to what we'll see next week, but we shall see. But yeah, no, to answer your question, yeah, 18s would be my kind of number, I think.
We've seen him, we've seen Zalatoris. He's got a reasonable coastal record. Top 10 at the PGA at Kira last year. Yeah. He's also had a seventh at Torrey Pines, which was followed this year, of course, by the runners-up finish to Luke List, of all people, at Torrey Pines at the Farmers. So, and the other thing that's very noticeable about Will Zalatoris, 10th for strokes gained putting at the PGA, 30th at Memorial, 4th at the US Open. So he's actually getting putts to draw. As you say, they tend to be more in majors, but I don't know, just get the feet. He's the one that I would want to cover off towards the top who I'd be, again, jumping out of my window if he wins and I'm not on him. Mm. But it's one of those events, I get the Scottish Opens, they don't tend to be friendly to me. I think I'll keep my money in my pocket for the Open.
Yep.
Plus the fact I've got a few that I've backed at this Barbasol Championship.
Yeah.
Can be very open, can't it? There's a hell of a lot of great golfers there. And, some are going there for a warm-up and then others. That's why I like Aaron Rye as well. It has to be said. I mean, I was on Rye in Scotland, in Ireland last week. I think I might have a little bit of that action as well.
Yeah.
Because he is absolutely 100% focused on playing well to get that Open Championship outing that he's missed out by the smallest of margins over the last sort of 7 days.
Yeah, there's huge motivation there.
Now, that will go one of two ways. He'll either miss the cut or he'll be right at the top of the leaderboard. That's true, though, isn't it?
Yeah, well,
it'll get too much for him. It'll fire him.
Yeah. If he finds himself too far away from the lead, then the motivation levels just drop and, that's when you can tail off quickly. If he finds himself in with a chance, and particularly when he's putting well, then you might find that he gives himself a chance of actually winning the golf tournament, which would be nice at 70-1.
Well, I had a quick think about while you were talking. Christian Bezuidenhout, has he got any coastal experience or strong results to your knowledge? Because we've always had him down as a tree line, short course monster.
Yeah.
And guess where, you know, guess where he finished second last week? Well, at the John Deere Classic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's short course, wide fairways, tree line.
No, that's exactly where you'd categorise him, really. It's that those kind of courses, those kind of classical style tracks, are much more up his alley, bent grass greens. Again, you know, if you look at this raw second place finish the week before stat, then potentially that's something to latch on to. But yeah, I'd prefer him on a different style course, I think.
No, I thought so. That was my gut feel. Should we talk Barbasol?
Go for it.
It's pretty poor, mate. it's pretty poor. It didn't fill me with enthusiasm, it has to be said. They play in Kentucky. It's one of these alternate events where clearly the main action this week is in Scotland. The Barbasol used to be played the same week as the Open.
Yep.
They've now moved this to the Scottish Open week, so co-sanctioned on both. And there's a lot of DP World Tour players that are flying over to Kentucky.
Yeah, 50 or so, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, that must be a fun charter flight out of Ireland last week. George Coetzee, I noticed. Gorgeous George is playing in Kentucky.
Yeah.
What a treat.
Yeah.
They tend to, I mean, as you would expect, the Scottish Open, that's taking the... But, you know, Julian Brun, George Coetzee, I'm reading here. Niklas Norgaard Miller. I don't know most of these players. I know Marcel Schneider you've been putting up recently. He's going over there with Hurley Long, who's another one that Barry mentions most weeks.
Yeah. Barry was on.
So there's some half-decent players going over. Brant Snedeker's decided to WD overnight. It's clearly too much for Brant. He'll be playing off a career earnings exemption before you know it. He might even be doing that now. I've lost the plot with Brant over the years. But I genuinely think that as a segue, that's a weird one, but this Barbasol Championship and a lot of these alternate events, when you actually go down to a clean spreadsheet on Excel and you work through the numbers and you see who's done well and you see who's contended, you do see a pattern. I mean, I'm just looking at the Barbasol here from last year. Seamus Powell won at 20-1. He came off inbound form of 19th, 19th, 8th, and then the week before 8th at the John Deere Classic. 20-1 favourite. He was 123rd in the FedEx Cup standings. So even though he played all that great golf, his PGA Tour playing privileges were very much up in the air, arriving at the Barbasol. Bearing in mind, we've only got a few weeks to the end of the regular season. The Wyndham in August. So if you're outside the top 125 now, you've got some severe pressure because you've only got a relatively small amount of outings. And don't forget, once you get past next week, they're playing the Barracuda next week. You've then got, I think, the Rocket Mortgage, the 3M, and the Wyndham. Some of these players will struggle to get in those fields. Powell was 123. Aniban Lahiri was 127 in the standings. Sam Ryder was 132. So there's three players in the top four in the leaderboard last year that were right close to or just inside the bubble for full playing privileges for the next season.
Yep.
Jim Herman was 232. I mean, Jim Herman, if you picked him out, miscut. Made the field, miscut was his form in. 500-1. But even then, Kelly Craft was second, 154 in the FedEx Cup. Seb Straka, who'd been in some decent nick in the build up, 139, 30-1. So I can see why people are on Chess and Hadley this week. If I'd have had probably a bit more energy about me and really wanted to waste a few more points, I'd have probably included Chess and Hadley. Because he's in the same boat. Two good results. I think he's sitting mid-140s in the FedEx Cup. Bearing in mind, Hadley was the guy who miraculously last year, did he shoot something crazy like Oh, it was a very low round, wasn't it? I'm just trying to bring it up on my computer. At the Wyndham Championship to save his card.
Yeah, there was something.
It was something stellar. A 62 at the Wyndham last year. Mm. He shot 62 on Sunday to scrag the 125th place in the standings. So he's already had one very close call, Jason Hadley. Mm. I wouldn't have thought he wants to do that again. He's in good nick, Hadley, but I haven't backed it because I suppose I could have held my nose. And but 40-1 with Unibet is actually not a bad price. But yeah, I'm kind of fishing in these waters, motivated players, so that you're gonna. There's a few in there, Streelman, for example, Svensson. Patton Kazire, you can Hayden Buckley, you can look at their numbers and they're quite attractive, but actually they all look pretty comfortable. If they miss the cut this week, hey ho, they've got their card for next year. They're not overly fussed about it. You've got players in there though that are absolutely busting their balls to try and get the top 125 position, and they're the ones that I want. And that's as simple as I've kept it. I've kept it that simple. Course, it's all pretty nondescript, really. I had a chat with Wiley on DMs last week because Wiley's a Kentucky guy. He plays the course quite regularly. And he told me he thought this was more of a bomber's golf course. It tends to play quite soft. Bent grass greens. The ball at Keen Trace Golf Club, it goes on forever. Wiley, Golflandia podcast, so there's a shout out to Wiley. Go and listen to that, Matt. Great podcast that he puts out every week. Keen Trace Golf Club, Nicholasville, Kentucky. He said to me he thought it was a bomber's golf course. Because his words to me were, if Johnny Vegas is playing, he's going to be all over him like a rash. 7,328 yard par 72. It's all very nondescript, but the greens are bent grass. Wide, wide fairways. Now, you think Bombers Golf Course, he told me Bombers Golf Course, he said he's played about 40 rounds around here, so I'm not gonna argue with it. But then you look at the three winners here, Troy Merritt, hardly a bomber, Jim Herman, hardly a bomber, dead arrow straight Jim Herman, and Seamus Power. Now, Power can get it out there, but I wouldn't put him in the bomber category.
No.
I've taken on board what he said about bombers. One of mine definitely is. But yeah, it's just perennially in the six easiest courses on the PGA Tour. It's just a genuine birdie fest. 21 under, 26 under, 23 under have been the winning totals here. You've got a lot of players there. A lot of them are in jeopardy in terms of their cards. Three I've gone for. Now, I've fallen into this trap before, but like I said, I managed personally with, I had about a 3-minute window to do it. So I can't mention the price on my preview because by the time you and I pressed the button and it went live, that 33-1 was long gone. But Chris got her up. I mean, he's clearly a very strong talent. Jack Nicklaus Award winner out of University of Oklahoma. Everything I read about him is he's very matter of fact. His golf coach says he's never met anyone like him. It's just all kind of goes over his head. He's very easy, but he's very talented. Yeah. We've seen this so often, haven't we? Jordan Spieth, John Rahm, Morikawa, Hovland, Will Zalatoris. Guys that you've never heard of. I mean, Mito Pereira was one again last year, wasn't it? Mito came up from the Corn Ferry. Not many people knew about him. And all of a sudden, they're just lining up top 10 finishes.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is the PGA Tour. It is the main tour of golf, despite Liv and the Saudis trying to break that. But some of these events aren't very good, and this is certainly one of them. I just think Gotter up. The way that he plays his golf, 335 off the tee, hits lots and lots. Relatively, I think he was over 60-65% fairways hit last week. That's a dangerous tool round here, I think. Mm. So I took 20-1, seven places each way with Paddy Power. The way I'm working it out, if he can get a second place finish this week, and this is the way I'm sure he's looking at it and his team, If he gets a second place finish this week, he gets special temporary membership at the PGA Tour.
Yeah, I saw he was close, wasn't he? So is that what it
helps? Yeah, again, out? You said Rob Bolton at the top. Yeah, I've took this from Rob. Rob says he's basically 60% of the way there. The way it works, I believe, is you have to get within... You have to get the amount of points total that the guy that finished 150th in the FedEx Cup last year got to get your special temporary membership.
Yeah, but yeah.
Yeah, so second place this week. I'm sure that he'd prefer first, and I certainly would. But yes, he's a class player. And a bit like Ryan Fox for you yesterday and Lucas Herbert, whenever his price was being put up on first show, it was getting annihilated. Mm. So I thought, I'll join that club. So I'm on Gutterup, he's obvious, but you know, there's a guy that's playing there, turning up, special temporary membership is available, which is a huge deal. He's fifth across my strokes gained 8-week trackers for tee to green. He's also third for strokes gained current form. 43rd at the US Open, 35th at the Travelers, and of course, fourth last week at the John Deere Classic. That John Deere Classic track and here, Troy Merritt, there's a lot of carryover. You know, because it's both bent grass greens, relatively short. They're easy golf courses. I've gone for two at bigger prices. I've got 50-1 on Kelly Craft. And that's with Unibet, six places each way. Craft, he missed his medical extension at the Valspar. So now he's doing whatever he can to try and get at least 150. Because if you can get 126, 150... status, at least you're going to be playing on the PGA Tour next year. You just won't be able to 100% go to each tournament you want. But I think he's also going to be able to get into the Corn Ferry finals. But he's bang on the mark now. He's 150 on the FedEx Cup. And it reminds me of what he did 3 years ago. He was 154th coming here into 2019. He'd finished 66th at the John Deere Classic and then he shot 65, 67, 61, 61, 11 under on the Saturday. He was one shot back of Jim Erman going into Sunday. He did finish second that particular year. So I just thought 50-1 on a guy that's actually playing some nice golf at the moment. He's driving the ball very well. He's finished 15th in Mexico, 13th at the RBC Canadian Open, Kelly Craft recently. He was also seventh. He fired a 63 last week at the John Deere Classic. Went into the weekend seventh. 10th after 54. He then eventually finished in the 24th. So he's playing some good golf, Kelly Craft. Knows the course. Had success here. Highly motivated. Driving the ball well. His approach plays good. And Craft's just one of these kind of good putters, sneaky scorers. So Craft's in for me, 50-1. And then my last one here, because I want to keep the stakes low. Just have a few runners and riders. Austin Cook, 157th in the FedEx Cup standings right now. Got no winner's exemption. Last few weeks, he's finished 13th at the RBC Canadian Open. That was his best finish of the year so far. Sorry, the season so far, after he opened up 11th at the Fortinet Championship, the first tournament of the season. 63rd at the Travelers and a career best. 16th at the John Deere Classic last week for Austin Cook. He's kind of Jim Herman route here. He's not long off the tee, but he is dead straight. A very, very, very sneaky putter, Austin Cook. And he's an Arkansas kind of, he's an Arkansas individual, which you look at the geography, kind of a couple of states just to the west of Kentucky. So this kind of territory, this kind of heat, it's going to be very hot, very humid, bent grass greens. I think he'll go well, Austin Cook. Mm. He finished fourth here, again, in that 2019 renewal.
Yep.
So you had Herman, you had Kelly Craft. He was in fourth spot. 67, 66, 63. He shot to get him into third spot into Sunday. He eventually finished fourth. So, yeah, he's playing some nice golf beneath the surface, is Austin Cook. The other thing is, he won the 2018 RSM Classic. He won that at 21 under. And then I remember this in 2020. He was in playoff at the Shriners Open with Martin Laird and also with Matthew Wolfe. He'd shot 23 unders to get into that on those bent grass greens at in Las Vegas.
Yep. He can go
so Cook, one of those. You know when the scoring's easy, Cook's the kind that can hit fairways, hit greens, collate a score.
Yep.
He's in a desperate plight. He's 157, so he'll be here coming with full enthusiasm. So Cook for me, Kraft, Gotterup. I wouldn't shoot you down in flames. I haven't put him up. Chesson Hadley. It's hard to get excited about Chesson because he can be just all over the place, but he's playing some good golf at the moment. Mm. Have you picked out any?
I've backed three. The first one I backed, same as you, is Austin Cook, who I thought that 80-1 price point was really strong, given the relative strength of the field out there and the odd spark of form that we've seen in the course form. It does all add up quite nicely.
Yeah. And
the other two that I've backed, I backed James Hahn at 70-1.
Yeah.
If you look back, he'd missed 8 cuts on the trot before finishing 5th here last year. Now, that's exactly what James Hahn does. We've talked about it ad nauseum. James Hahn, Jim Herman, you know, a string of missed cuts. That's the kind of form you want before a contending performance. But
that's true. It's perverse, but it's true.
It's what he does. He shot a 60 on the Saturday to put himself in position and held on for a 5th place finish. Coming into this year, much better form, actually. 2 top 10s in his last 5 starts. 9th at the Wells Fargo, 9th at the Byron Nelson. And again, really low round in there. Shot a 61 in the 3rd round at the Byron Nelson. Last couple of starts, not quite so good. But that's what's kept his price out at 70-1 in what is a relatively poor field. And James Hahn can win. James Hahn is one of those players that can actually get over the line. So
yeah,
quite happy to take him. The other one I've backed is Bo Hogue at 100-1. Now, again, it's one of those players. He's one of those players that's really quite erratic. He had 9 miscuts on the bounce, then found something last week. He shot 63 in the 3rd round, finished 16th overall. And again, if you look back historically, last year finished 11th here. He shot 4 rounds in the 60s. So just putting those two together, picking out a 3-figure price, I thought it was worth a punt at 100-1. So Hogue, Hahn, and Austin Cook for me. It's a keen trace.
Hahn, yeah.
He can win.
He was on my very short list.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I could see Hahn, especially off 3 missed cuts. That's what he does. Mm. So, yeah, good price for Hahn. And he's another one, 140-something on the FEC.
136, yeah.
136, so, yeah.
Right in so that sweet
that's
spot.
That's in that sweet spot, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But you are. Right, I think that's us, isn't it?
It is indeed. So we'll be back later in the week with a Open Championship preview show, which hopefully we can get Barry on board for that when he's back from his JP McManus exploits.
Yes, we can go through some detail around St Andrews.
Mm.
Brilliant.
Yeah, look
thank
forward
you for your time.
That.
I hope your bets go well.
Yeah, best of luck, Steve.
And to you. Best of luck to listeners. We'll see you next time. We'll be back for the Open Research podcast later this week. Enjoy your golf betting.
If you like betting on golf, but everyone that you back misses the cut, get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. Cause it's the golf betting system. The golf betting system is the